we're recording now. Okay, I'll put Final Fantasy V away. Actually, I'm going to tell it for everyone. Hey,
yeah,
gang,
talk about it.
I'm right at the end of Final Fantasy V. So this is fairly interesting. I'm a lifelong Final Fantasy fan. Literally one of my earliest memories is me sitting on my mum's knee as she plays Final Fantasy VII.
I love this story. That's so cute.
So I've played the franchise my whole life. And I've played all of the games, but I haven't finished all of the games. So I decided this year that I'm just going to do all of them in order. I'm stood outside the boss room in Final Fantasy V. I have mastered all of the jobs. So I've fully leveled everything up. And then literally on about 5 minutes ago, I beat the second secret boss.
Secret boss, huh?
It's an optional boss. Yeah, it's like the first one is Omega, who is just like this like big robot thing, and that took me like 2 to 3 hours to beat. He was fucking hard because his thing is that he just kills you immediately. So I was Dark Soulsian, like ramming my head against it over and over and over again in the hopes that at some point I will get a leg up against the guy. And I did, and then I kept changing abilities to try to figure out what worked, and then I did it. This guy was really easy. He's just less difficult. The story of them is that this robot Omega was built, I think Shinryu is the dragon god, but he was built to kill the dragon because the dragon was real dangerous, but then they ended up both being so powerful that they had to be locked into an interdimensional void, which is how you're able to fight them now.
How nice to be locked in an interdimensional void together.
Do you think we'll get that one day? Do you think we'll be locked in an interdimensional void to kill each other?
Robin, if we didn't, I would create the void in order to do so. Like, I will build it with love and hate in equal measure.
Yeah.
A place for us to finally be.
And this is actually a fun, this is fun foreshadowing because this is what this show is. We're trapped in an interdimensional void. And
It's just
fighting,
doing a
debating
together.
About video games. Yeah, for all eternity. And the only thing we can do is play the game. My eye is so bloodshot. You see that?
Oh, I do see it, bub.
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's
like
crazy.
A whole
Do you know what happened?
Probably rubbed it too hard.
Yeah.
Snorting all that.
What drug? What drug?
Coke?
Sure.
Coke make your eyes bloodshot?
You know, weed famously does make your eyes bloodshot.
But I can't have weed because it makes my mind go to hell.
Yeah.
It makes me lose
but
time.
But you can do cocaine just fine.
I can do coke fine, yeah. Coke is no trouble at all.
No big deal.
Yeah, I just get really fast.
Yeah, like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Exactly.
You just zoom about.
But weed makes me lose, like time extends and contracts at the same pace. And I feel like, speaking of being trapped in interdimensional voids, I feel like I'm trapped when I have weed. And I hate it so fucking much, actually.
Yeah. And I love it because the time dilation means that I can do so much.
I get the idea that it's like, actually, the first ever episode of The Atomless, I wrote whilst I was super high because it was the day before and I hadn't written a lot. And most of the ideas for episode one came from the fact that I was like, I have more time to write. So then I just wrote a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Every other time since then, I feel like I'm going to hell, though.
Yeah. There was a time where you were trying to enjoy it, and it was just
I played a lot of Final Fantasy 16 whilst there was a drink. There's a weed drink that's grape flavored. I normally don't like grape flavored anything, but I really liked this one grape flavored drink, and it was like when my ex was out of the house a lot, I would just be like, okay, gonna buy one, I'm gonna drink half of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you had a plan to have a chill night.
Yeah. And then I was like, I was doing, actually, the super hard secret boss of Final Fantasy 16. I was having a blast. And then eventually I was like, I'm missing a lot of inputs. I'm going to go get some water. And then I stood up and it took me, I'm going to say conservatively, about 50 hours to get to the bathroom. And then about, and then minus 5 seconds to get from the bathroom back to sat down.
Yeah.
And I kind of hate it.
Yeah. You know, so yeah. Really fun time.
Yep. Bad knees bears. Anyway.
Anyway,
fuck all this. None of this cares. In our interdimensional rift,
what are we doing?
Playing Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2.
I've been getting some extremely exciting messages from Dylan.
This is a good game. This is a good game. This is It's a good game. Hi, my name is Dylan. I have played one Mass Effect game.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 billion times.
And this is Dorkspawn, where we are playing video games chapter by chapter and discussing them with each other. I'm playing Mass Effect series for the first time, and we are playing Mass Effect 2. And what we did is we did three
dossiers.
Dossiers, which is like the missions to go and get and recruit people.
Yes, Captain.
And so, one, I started with the professor. And first off, planetary exploration in this game.
Yeah.
Favorite. Because I really liked that in Mass Effect 1, but there wasn't really a lot of it. And like,
there wasn't anything you could do.
Right. And so for this, it's like the planetary exploration part is that you're like, you are also like scanning these planets, but you're like an act. It's not just like click a button. You're like scanning, you're deploying probes, you're doing research, and you're doing it all from that, like the Normandy's like console thing.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to like, you also don't have to like go down on each of these planets to like get resources or things like that. It seems you just do the exploration from the thing, like outside of like quests that you have to do on those planets. It doesn't seem like you have to like just.
Yes. Sometimes you'll get a little prompt that's like anomaly detected. And that's just like, here's a weird little thing that you can explore on this planet, but it's crazy rare. It's mainly just.
So great. So the professor, we go to Omega, which is a fucking cool, like stalagmite shaped, red space station thing, which is cool as fuck. When I get there, we're walking around. Edie, the ship's AI, is like talking to me about the place a little bit, which I like, I think is cool, but I miss getting comms from Joker, and I hope that like, I hope that maybe he has comms to say to me as well.
Yeah.
Did you
speak to Joker at all?
I did later.
Later. Cool.
Yeah, I did later on. But I do. I love him. And I do like the AI. Is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we meet a weird little guy, Mocklin, who is like, what kind of alien is Mocklin? He is, I don't think we've met this alien species yet.
Oh,
unless
is this
stupid.
The Vulture?
Is that what it is?
They're like classic goblin-y.
Yes. Vulture, very goblin-y. Yeah. Very cool. But he is a dick and he's like, what are you doing here? You've just been reborn. You have to go to afterlife. I said, no, thank you to that.
What was his name?
Mocklin.
Mog? Mog, like M-O-G?
Mocklin, I think is his name.
Mocklin.
Anyway, what the fuck is afterlife? I don't really want to find out at all.
You didn't go to Afterlife?
No.
Oh my god, Afterlife is this giant nightclub that is basically all of Omega. It's fucking awesome. That's crazy. I didn't know you didn't go there. That's absolutely mad. It's a big, it's like, I genuinely thought, should I do it? You have to do it. Like, it's not like, oh my god, you have to. It's like, you have to at some point do it. I actually thought you have to do Afterlife to get to Morden. Because you go to speak to someone who tells you where Morden is, rather than just like going into the slums.
And they told me I have to go to Afterlife, and I said, no, I'm not doing that. That sounds awful. But then, because he's like, he's not just telling me to go to Afterlife, he's telling me to report there. And I was like, I don't think so.
Sure.
So then, trying to figure out where Morden Solace is, which the first of many times you're going to ask somebody where Morden Solace is.
Yeah.
It's such a thing. We find out that there is like a section here that's been completely locked off because there's a plague like wreaking havoc in there.
Mm-hmm.
That humans can't get.
Yes.
And so like there's a human trying to get in there to get her stuff, and the guards are like, one, we're not letting you in there. Two, like everything is going to be dead in there, and if anybody who's not killed by the plague is going to get killed and picked over by the Blue Suns, which is S-U-N-S Suns?
Yes, Blue Suns.
Which I'm guessing is a gang.
Yeah, so Omega is run by primarily three gangs. You've got the Blue Suns, the Blood Pack, and Eclipse. They're the three big big gangs. But all of them also like appear in other places, which will talk about later, because the Blue Suns come up again. Actually, the Blue Suns come up three times.
They come up
so far. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They come up a lot.
Each of the things that we did, they were important.
Yeah. So the Blue Suns are in there picking stuff over. Whatever. We convince this guy that we're gonna go in there. And this lady gets all upset, like, You're letting her in and not me.
And the guy's like, yeah, look at how heavily armed she is. Yeah,
look at her guns. And I said, that's fucking right. That's fucking right. Look at my guns. So we go in there. This is like, there's like corpse piles everywhere. There's like funeral pyres everywhere. It's bleak in here. And we find some aliens who are like infected, and the aliens are talking to me that like humans must have made this plague, because humans can't get infected by it. Aliens are getting infected by it, and like we must have deployed it.
Yeah. The only other theory that people have in that same, in some similar conversations, is that the Vorture might have done it, because the Vorture are immune to all diseases.
Right. But then why wouldn't it target humans also?
Yeah.
Is the thing. So we also start coming across people who have heard of Morden Solace, and are terrified of him.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I find somebody who is like, so Morden, we find out from a guy who's like infected and like possibly gonna die, that Morden Solace has like a clinic set up somewhere around here.
Yes.
Is like trying to cure this plague.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's too afraid to go and find him, because Morden killed some Blue Suns with like a toxin that he created, and he like menacingly displayed the bodies as like a threat.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you such a pussy, man? Why are you so, you're going to die over this. Like, go find him.
Yeah. That's a cool description because, yeah, they say that and then they're like, and there was another time when he activated the turrets to gun down a bunch of people and then got back to work before the guns stopped firing. Like, he truly is, like, he doesn't care. Like, people are like, oh, he's insane.
He's insane. And oh my God, I love him. But we'll get to that. So we find... So then we continue looking. We're going through this place, and we come across some like humans who are looting. I don't know if I missed this. Are those Blue Suns, or are they just other
those
looters?
Are just people? Yeah,
they're blue, just other looters.
People who are Blue Suns have like blue armor.
If you see someone with blue armor,
they're Blue Suns. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought for a minute that I was just like, just separate looters, because they were telling me that the looters were going to be Blue Suns, but whatever. So again, I'm like, hey, Morden Solis, where is he? Talking to them was like pulling teeth, but eventually I do get them to show me, and I'm like, also stop stealing, I guess. Stop doing that. Yeah. You should can it. But they tell me I find my way to Morden Solis. He is a Solarian. He is autistic. He is he is great. He's great. He has such a spectacular cadence. He is running an entire clinic. So he's clearly not an uncaring man. He is a good guy. He's just also fine with violence.
I'm actually interested in this. I just want to jump a little bit ahead just about Morden. How much have you spoken to him? Has he told you what he used to do?
Yes.
Yeah, he told you. What has he told you?
Wait. What did he used to do? Because I had a funny conversation with him, like, also,
on the ship.
Yes, yesterday, where he was like, "I'm not attracted to you," and I was like, "Okay."
It's fun. He's one of the only unromanceable, in any way unromanceable, people on the ship. I love him so much. So I have two in this franchise. I have two characters who are like my favorites of all time in this franchise. One of whom is someone who's going to be coming up in this game, and I love them because of the big implications as to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Morden Solis. I love so much because he's so fucking weird, has some of the best moments in the whole franchise, and is
and he's a genocidal maniac.
Sick, cool.
Good. He's a genocidal maniac. Is the thing.
Yeah. So again, what did he tell you?
He used to be a scientist working on the genophage,
yes,
that killed,
so,
yeah. and like,
so he's the reason why all the Krogans are having the worst time ever. Okay, good, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the weird thing, isn't it? Is that you go through this whole thing and you're like, oh well, he set up a clinic in a place where he could die because he's not immune to it, and he is helping people, protecting them all at the same time, running this whole clinic, comes aboard to save the galaxy and save a bunch of humans with a human terrorist group. And you are like, well, clearly he's a caring, good guy. And then he's like, hey, so I perfected the genophage because Krogans had started becoming immune to it. And I was like, nope.
That's right.
Because it was the genophage started like 1,000 years ago. But it a lot of Krogans were just becoming immune to it because Krogan physiology is just so good. So then he found the weaknesses in Krogan physiology and perfected the genophage so that it wouldn't...
so that they couldn't be immune to it.
They couldn't be immune to it, and they couldn't get around, like, dying from it. And then when, if you bring up, hey, so that's fucking evil, he tries to then argue that he didn't want to do a genocide because people are worth saving. It's just that Krogans are too dangerous. And he again feeds into the Krogan racism that this whole franchise loves to do.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Loves the stuff. Anyway, he's my favorite. He's the most complicated person ever. He's objectively evil and then
continues. So good.
Yeah.
I don't understand what's happening with this boy. he meets us and he's like, and he does a little funky little math puzzle in his brain, and then he's like, oh, Cerberus sent you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck did you know that? I don't understand. And he's just like, oh, it just makes sense.
You know this shitty thing that BBC Sherlock does where they just make Sherlock just know
that's
pieces of information that no one humanly should know, and it sucks? They do it with Morden, but it's charming and fun because he's charming. Really good. Yeah.
He's really good. He tells us, like, to help out by... I think it's like turning on or like helping to turn back on like the life support systems in there, like the
You put a cure into the air filter system, but then you have to turn it on as well because the blue suns have turned it off.
Yeah. And while we're out there, he's like, also my assistant Daniel hasn't come back. Could you please look out for him? And I wrote, oh boy, that boy is dead. Oh, he's not. which is amazing because in Dragon Age, that guy's always dead.
Yeah.
The guy that hasn't come back
is always dead 100% of the time.
100% of the time, always dead. so I was conditioned to believe that this man would be dead, but Daniel's fine. Daniel was like getting his ass kicked, and I convinced them to let him go. And I didn't kill the guys who were kicking his ass, which truthfully was kind of like a whatever decision.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. Oh, sorry. But I am glad because it was funny by the time we got back. Oh, the Blood Pack Boom Squad?
Yeah,
the
maybe.
Blood Pack Boom Squad. They got Darkspawn in this game? they got fucking Darkspawn in here? funky little guys. The Blood Pack Boom Squad.
I like them. I like these fucking weird... See, Mass Effect 2 is so good because everything just gets weird. It gets weird and sci-fi-y, and I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very neat.
So when I get back... after I put the cure in the life support, turn all the fans on, by the way, loving this like puzzle, encryption little mini game so much.
It's fun.
So funky.
Which ones have you done?
The one where it's like, you're looking for the, how do I describe it? You're looking for like the bits of codex.
Yeah,
line that like that match
the ones. Yeah, that one's good. I like the it's like all the symbols are blank and you have to hover over them and then see the symbol and then connect the ones that are real. That one's cool as well. I like that. Yeah, hacking. They were like, yeah, this one mini game kind of sucked in the first one, so let's make it fun and weird in the second.
And they did. They really did. They made it fun. Yeah,
loved it.
So when I get back and all of this is like completed, the professor is like very happy. He's happy that Daniel's okay. And And Daniel is like really happy that I didn't kill those guys. And the professor's like, huh, weird. I would have killed them.
Yeah.
And Daniel's like, what, professor? How could you?
Yeah.
How could
it's
you
like,
feel
but
that
we're
way?
We're doctors. We're supposed to help. And he's like, helping. Sometimes people need to die for you to help more people.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know. You know, professor.
Me and you are going to get on real well, buddy.
We are going to get along. So now we've got the professor. Which
and
is
you should also cool. have Zaid as well. You meet Zaid immediately as soon as you leave the Normandy.
Yes. I meet Zaid as well. Zaid is a veteran.
Yeah.
So Zaid is recruiting him is like almost nothing. He's just kicking some guy's ass. That he's like a bounty hunter type of thing. And he's got one of these goblin-y aliens.
Those goblin-y aliens are the Batarians.
Batarians, sorry, that's what it
we
is.
We did see those, but they were in the Bring the Sky Down DLC that you didn't do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, right, right. So
you would know Batarians as in Ari would know Batarians or Arnie would know Batarians because... Batarians are slavers, like almost entirely. So,
yes.
And in the Soul Survivor, it was Batarians that came on, killed all your people, and then took what they could.
Yes. Oh, that's right. So that, yeah. Zaid has got a Batarian that's a convict who's like begging for his life or whatever. And the recruitment is like basically nothing. It's like a 2-second conversation where he's like, I've been expecting you. Cerberus, let me know what's going on. And then he just is like, by the way, I fucking hate slavers. I know about one. You want to get him with me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, great. Happy to have you aboard. Please join the crew. So yeah, so his recruitment is like almost nothing.
Truly nothing. But
then he's on and we get the price of revenge, which I did do.
Zaid's loyalty mission I like a lot. Yeah,
I like that too. But I didn't do it before I went to go get the convict. This one was
this my fucking girl, baby.
Oh,
this is my
God.
Girl.
Okay, first of all. We're going to a prison ship called Purgatory.
Mm.
Crazy good prison ship name.
Yeah.
Purgatory is terrifying. They're introducing it to us. They're really trying to justify that, like, this is where bad people are. For sure, bad people. But they're kept in cryo cells. And also, like, the homeworld of all of the prisoners
have to pay to keep them
here.
Or they release the person to an undisclosed location on the planet.
Yeah. So yeah. it's a racket.
Yeah.
So this
whole place is also run by the Blue Suns, just in case
yes.
you... Yes, good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Run by the Blue Suns. They are making crazy money for it. And then sometimes they also just shoot the cryo cells into space and kill
yeah.
the prisoners.
The guy, when you first
to.
Go on, the warden is like, oh yeah, your package will be ready in a second. Like talking about Jack, the convict is like,
yeah.
this is fully just, they're just selling people. But they're like, yeah, they're evil. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. And is like, this guy, like listening to him speak for 2 minutes, he is terrifying, like legitimately terrifying the warden, the shit that comes out of his mouth. And then he's like, oh, Jack, the most dangerous person ever to live. And I was like, you are terrifying.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that Jack is the most dangerous person in the world. Interesting. So we also find out that Cerberus has paid for this to happen. Like Cerberus bought Jack essentially.
Yeah.
Fucking hate Cerberus.
Cerberus is bad. Good. That's a good impulse. They're a bad evil.
I hate
evil place.
Cerberus
yeah.
so much. We also learned that Purgatory used to be an ark ship that was meant to like carry life supplies to new homeworlds and has been repurposed into this. Dreadful. dreadful and evil. We also see them like just randomly kicking prisoners' asses. Just
oh yeah, kick the fuck out of. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went up to them and I was like, this is pretty lame. And then they stopped.
But they don't even stop. They say, oh, fine, stop it for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, we'll just get back to this when this fucking liberal is off board.
Yeah. I talked to one prisoner and I was like, hey, it seems like this is pretty shitty in here. He's like, yeah, can you get me out? I was like, yeah, I just got to go pick up Jack. And he's like, never mind.
Yeah. I'll actually stay right fucking here.
I was like, oh, I can't wait to meet Jack. So we find. So funny. Everyone that you're talking to in this place when you're talking about Jack, everybody avoids using pronouns the way that a straight man tells his girlfriend about his new friend at work. It's crazy how the leaps they go through to not use pronouns before Jack is revealed is so funny. Not a pronoun in sight.
Yeah, this one person is... The subject has been...
it's completely, completely hysterical to me. We make our way to... This is an insane choice, but there's a button that releases all the prisoners.
All the prisoners, yeah.
And that's how... Good.
Well, first...
Yeah.
You're led to a place, because they're like, oh, yeah, it's just down the hall is where Jack is.
Yeah.
And then you walk down, and then it's a cell, and the warden's like, you're actually worth more money to me than the ass that Cerberus is going to try to kick of ours, so we decided to capture you, and you're like, and this is a good place, is it? And then you execute, like, 15 people, and you're like, maybe they were right. I am very dangerous.
I am very dangerous, and I am worth a lot of money. And
a lot of money. And then you get to the jack button.
Then I get to the big button that's going to release all of the prisoners, including Jack, the most dangerous, crazy person alive. And we hit the button because that's the best plan.
Yeah.
And all of the cell blocks open. Everything is chaos, and we see Jack emerge from cryo. She is, she's a lesbian.
Isn't it crazy?
The most dangerous woman in the world, a lesbian, a pissed off lesbian. and I couldn't agree more. And she's so cool. She's
fucking awesome. She was my first romance. My first romance ever in a video game. When I had the choice to romance someone, it was Jack, yeah.
Whoa.
In this specific game. And I got it because I was so... Because they said, keep checking up on Jack, make sure she doesn't fucking lose her mind. So I did every time. And I was so nice to her constantly. And her romance is really interesting because neither of us can get it, so I'll just spoil it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking, and then one time you're talking, she's like, so do you have, like, feelings for me? Or, like, what's the fucking deal here? And if you say no, it, like, locks off talking to her again, because she just gets pissed off that she was, like, led astray a bit and got feelings for you. If you say yeah, she's like, cool. And then you also can't talk to her until, like, a few missions later, where she's like, hey, so, what are we doing here? And it's great. She's the best. She's, like, so she's the archetype of hates everyone except for you, who she loves so
Morrigan.
Deeply.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Morrigan, the Lazel, the Lazel.
Yeah. You have a type.
I have a type.
And it's mean lesbians.
And it's mean lesbians. Yeah, that's it.
Yes, that's it. excellent. I meet her, first she emerges, and then we have to make our way to her, but, like, now all this place is crawling with, like, the most dangerous, violent
evil criminals
in the world,
and also
and
all of the all of the prisoners in the ship have been released as well.
Yeah. right. Because the bounty hunter's still out there, or the warden is still out there and still wants me.
And then also announces, like, kill everyone on site. Don't kill Jack, though. She's too valuable.
Yeah.
So
we're.
But it's
just
fun. She punches through a mech. That's the first thing we see. She breaks through these, like, giant metal chains and then punches through a mech.
She's got a magic punch, it looks like. It's like.
Yeah,
it's...
she's biotic, like, exclusive, pretty much. Yeah. She just uses. I think. What are you? What's your class? Do you remember?
It's what is my class? Hey dorks, do you like mechs? Hope punk sci-fi? Tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do! They're three of the best things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers, waking mechs that kill, sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and... Robin, tell them the best part.
Settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. Pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Sup, dorks?
Listen, we know you. We know you have 100 original characters floating around in your head, and you're just waiting to talk about them, but no one ever asks.
Well, what if you could have one of your favorite fictional guys on your keys?
That's right! Hero Forge is adding the ability to have your Hero Forge character created onto acrylic keychains. They'll be the same scale as Hero Forge standees, meaning there will be a perfect match for your on-table miniature.
So head on over to Hero Forge to get your characters on keychains and have everyone asking you, oh, who's that cool little guy?
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad.
My dearest listener, have I got a secret for you? Bitcherton is an improvised comedy podcast inspired by the stories of Jane Austen that tells the tale of a wealthy family's secrets, scandals, and shenanigans. Lady Bitcherton has unwed daughters, nosy neighbors, awful country cousins, and now a body to hide. Will the Bitchertons be able to keep their secrets off the pages of Lady Bigwither's gossip sheet? Or will her pen skewer their good name forever? Oh, Bits, what a predicament. Featuring the voices of Katie Marovich, Iffy Waddyway, Carolyn Page, Alex Songsharp, Brian Flaherty, and Cassie Wilson, plus a dance card filled with guest comedians of the very finest quality. But for us to help the seeds of rumor ripen into the juicy plum of scandal, we'll need your help. Bitcherton is heading to Kickstarter on June 13th. Go to bitcherton.com to pre-save the campaign and help us bring this story to life. Ta-ta for now.
Yeah, because she's just biotic. She's like... the most powerful biotic human alive the idea of her. I was wondering if you were both the same.
No, we're not. I'm Sentinel.
Ah, sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because that's Big Tech as well, where she's
Big Tech
exclusively, yeah.
Yeah. So she's got crazy magic punch. She just kills people with her fists. to death. So cool. And then when I do get to her and she's just like punching people to death, the very first thing she does is calls me a pussy, tells me that she hates Cerberus, and I'm like, same, babe, I'm not fucking with them. I was so excited that I had the option to say that and to like do that. So we vibe. She's like, I'm gonna come with you, but I want all of Cerberus's databases. I want to dig through those motherfuckers. And Miranda is pissed, but I'm like, shut up, Miranda. We're doing it. And she can have whatever
Jack
she wants.
And Miranda fucking
hate each other. We go back to the Normandy and they're straight up fighting.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. It's great to have people not like each other on this ship. And it was great to walk up and be like, Miranda, shut up and give her the files. Fuck off. And I'm into it. But just like huge.
And
like,
you know,
vibes.
What? The thing about a lot of all of the Dragon Ages, people keep arguing like are they a found family? Are they co-workers? Like, what's the vibe here? Like, Inquisition, this comes up with a lot. People can't just, like, it's like so
Inquisition
split on...
is not found family. Dragon Age 2, that's found family for sure.
Dragon Age 2 is inarguable found family. Mass Effect 2, these are co-workers.
These are co-workers.
Don't fucking like each other. They're here to save the galaxy and then kill themselves. Like, that's why
it.
They're here. Yeah.
Yeah. Other like just random things around the Normandy that I like. I like that the Normandy one, everybody kind of like has their spot. I'm discovering.
Yeah, it's cool.
But the Normandy on like your like floor select tells you where everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Really cool.
Really nice and like just good for my brain. And I walked by and I heard the most beautiful sound in the world, which is no messages for you, Commander. Love the council not fucking checking up on me every goddamn time. Every goddamn time I walk by my console.
Well, actually, that is an interesting thing that I'd love to briefly talk about. We have a bunch of new crew members on the ship. Primarily one of the new crew, a thing which I love about Series 2 Normandy. When you're walking around, you're just hearing people talk to each
conversations.
Other and
yes.
bond, and like there's two people who were in the staff room, one of whom is like, oh yeah, my kid is on the outskirts of, oh no, it was like, oh, aren't you missing like your kid's birth? And he's like, yeah, but we are on like the outskirts of, you know, the galactic ring or whatever. That is prime collector territory, so I'm, you know, that's what I'm doing here. And they're chatting about it. I met someone in the bridge and they were talking about how their family got taken. Like, whilst we were on the ship, their family got taken by collectors. And how, oh, we're going to get revenge and all this. And it's awesome just like hearing this ambient dialogue of people. But Kelly Chambers is your personal assistant. Instead of just being a personal assistant, is also a psychiatrist. And she's like, a lot of people that we have on the ship are not mentally well. So I'm here to make sure that you know who to check up on and who wants to talk to you at what time. So whenever you go to a main mission, she'll be like, hey, by the way, this person wants to speak to you. Instead of you just like skipping big important dialogue with someone, she'll tell you this person is looking for you.
I do. I really like that. I vibe with that
cool
so much.
It's great.
Yeah. And she's a cutie pie too.
I've decided I'm going to romance Kelly Chambers.
You can?
She's bi, yeah. She's the first bi character the first human bi character is Kelly. Yeah. So I'm gonna date Kelly Chambers in this and there's someone else in three. My options for female romance in this game are slim pickings. Mm-hmm. There's one of our main crew that we haven't picked up yet. And I also think we pick her up in Act 2 or Kelly. I was like, I might as well just fucking
Yeah. I also did check in on Joker. Joker told me that Jack is insane and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah. But he is loving life.
He is loving life.
He's like, hell yeah, this ship fucks. It's so close to being like as good as the original Normandy was. And these people don't have like alliance powers, but it's basically a one-to-one. He's very excited. He loves everything. He's just upset that there's an AI on board.
Yeah.
But then you talk to Edie, and then Edie's great. She's like, I'm not here to do anything. But it's so cool. Did you speak to Edie?
Yeah.
Fully in the cockpit. It's so cool because you're like, you're talking and she's like, oh yeah, you can ask me anything. And then you ask questions. She's like, that information is locked to you, unfortunately. And it's all Cerberus based stuff. Like, how many groups of Cerberus are there? How much money was put into this project? How did they get you? All this stuff. She's like, oh, that's locked. That information is locked to you. And the way that it's shot is so cool as well, because some of the conversations are shot from Edie's perspective. So you have like, you're like looking at Commander Shepard with this big blue haze in front of you. It looks awesome. It's such a cool, I fucking love Edie.
Edie is cool. Edie is very cool.
She's really fun.
And then I went to talk to Mordin Solis twice. I went to go talk to him first, like right after I picked him up, I think. And that's when we had the conversation about his past. And then right at the end, like one of the last things that I did was just like doing a lap to like see everybody. And I went to go talk to him again. And he was like, hey, I'm not attracted to you. And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? And he was like, people are often attracted to me and I don't want it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I wasn't gonna, but ow.
I love him so much. He's such a little freak.
What a little freak.
He's prime freak. I fucking love Mordin. He's the best. Also on the ship. Just to go back to Joker. Joker says that because you're like, why didn't everyone stick together? And they're like, well, without you, and then the Alliance didn't like how many aliens that you put on the ship. So the Alliance broke the ship up and was like, no, the Normandy's permanently grounded. And then because of that, everyone just left. Because what are they just going to stay? They're people. They have jobs and they need to go do
They need
stuff.
Jobs. They have things they have to do. I get it.
I went down to medical. Dr. Chakwas is back.
Yeah,
my favorite fucking woman ever. Did you get her alcohol? Because she asks you to get brandy, and if you go onto Omega, you can pick up the brandy for her. Wouldn't have, because I went to the nightclub and I picked up a bottle of brandy that she wanted. That's the cutest scene ever, so we'll talk about that next week.
Okay, I'll make sure to do that.
But she's really cool because...
I think she did ask me, but after I had been there, so I haven't gone back yet.
She, after the mission, the Alliance put her on a... just in, like, on a planet to be medical there, and she fucking hated it. She was like, no, I'm supposed to be on starships. And you can bring up like, well, why don't you just ask the Alliance? You didn't have to join Cerberus. She was like, I joined Cerberus for you because you were here. So I came here because you're here.
And I'm the glue, baby.
You're the glue that holds everyone together. Everyone follows you. And that's the whole thing. That's why the Elusive Man is like, no, it has to be her. Like, she just has this magnetism that makes everyone follow her, and we can't put a control chip in her because then it wouldn't be her, which is the whole like ethos as to why you're back and all this. And then, I mean, it's proven you come back to life. Dr. Chakwas joins, Joker joins, like everyone starts like flocking to a terrorist organization because they're like, oh my God, what do you mean? Shepard's back? Love Shepard. And they just join you. Because they love you so much. Did you go down to engineering? Did you meet the two in the engine room?
The two that are like typing next to each other? Is that
Yeah, and you two? Can like yeah, have full yeah. conversations with them, and they're very cute. I like the pair of them very much. They ask you to get some engine bits. And then they ask you to play poker after if you get the
engine
bits.
Oh yeah, the poker yeah. guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah
and
yeah.
it's cute. Because you go downstairs, you speak to them, and they're like, oh shit, we didn't think you'd actually speak to us. Then you talk for a bit, they ask you to go get something, and then as you leave the conversation, their ambient dialogue is like, I can't believe you just met Commander Shepard. Oh my god, that's so cool. And then they're like freaking out about it. And then if you come back and you play poker with them, when you leave, they're like, we just played poker with Commander Shepard. It's just
oh my
so
god, that's so
cute.
Fucking cute.
It's so cute.
Oh, I love them.
You have Mess Sergeant Gardner, who is a who's your ship's cook. He asks you to get a bunch of ingredients for people. He's also the custodian as well. He does a lot of just maintenance stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a fine guy. He's a little gruff, but seems like a fairly nice dude. And yeah, I spoke to Miranda. She has a lot to say, and after a little while, she opens up a bunch about kind of who she is, and it's really because at first she just says that she's undergone extensive genetic modification,
yeah,
but then just kind of leaves it at that.
Yeah, that's all I've gotten from her, really.
Fascinating. When you go back, you learn more about.
Okay, I think I only talked to her once on the ship so far.
This is a very Inquisition type game where you'd be speaking to people after every mission will have more shit to say, and it's all,
which is great because that is the thing that I wanted in one.
Yeah, where, and this really opens that up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it's everyone has new things to talk about and opinions mm-hmm. about the people, opinions about the things that you're doing. Because everyone's personalities are so different, you have like Jacob that will agree with a lot of the good things you do, Miranda, which will agree with a lot, and Jack, who will agree with a lot of negatives you stuff you do, Morden, who simply doesn't care what you do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, does it make sense to you? Oh, whatever. I'm here for the cool lab that you have. I don't really care about anything else.
Yeah.
My boy. He's truly the best. I'm so fucking stoked for his tale. I went to the Normandy crash site. Did you go there?
No.
It's very small. It's literally just picking up dog tags. It's this.
Yeah,
really nothing
I am gonna
much.
Do that though. Yeah.
But yes, after all of that, I spoke to Jacob a little bit. He was talking about how him and Miranda have been on a lot of separate like missions together, and there's like times when they stopped the council from getting killed and all these other things, and I'm like, because I was like, aren't you scared about the fact that we're going into a suicide? He's like, nah, it's whatever, we've done this a bunch of times before, everything is a suicide mission until you survive it. Zaid is the same. If you speak to him, he's like, yeah, everything's a suicide mission until you live. If I had a ship for every suicide mission that I'd been on and survived, I'd have a fleet. I just think he's a cool guy. We did the Zaid's
thing.
Personal mission?
Yeah. Which is his loyalty mission, which is this slaver guy named Vito that he wants us to find and take out.
Yeah. It turns out that Vito was the leader of the Blue Suns.
Right.
This big, this like galactic wide gang which ran Purgatory and is one of the main players in Omega. And then whilst doing the mission, Zaid is like, yeah, we used to be partners. We made the Blue Suns together. We both founded this giant gang. You're like, oh, that's fucked up. And he's like, yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
We did it. He shot me in the back of the head. He said that he got his men to grab me, pin me down, and then shoot me in the back of the head. And then you're like, you survived getting shot in the back of the head? That doesn't sound real. And it's like, you survived falling to a planet? That doesn't sound real.
Yeah.
spite is a hell of a motivator.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want. And so we go to this like cool foresty planet that's very pretty, and hunt through a facility. We find like Zaid is just telling us how fucked up this guy is the entire time. And we find like a bunch of refinery workers in this place that Vito that are trapped in here. And Zaid, who up until now, like I get that he also like used to be partnered with this guy and started a gang or whatever, but he also like seemed pretty pretty morally sound to me. He hates slavers. That's always good. And everything, but he's sort of like, no, we don't have time to save them. I need to kill Vito.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's crazy. No, we're getting the refinery workers out of here. Calm down. We can do both.
Yeah, because like, it's like, oh, down. But if we let them go, then we're never going to catch him again. It's like, all right.
Calm down.
Pack it in. Interesting. I actually didn't save them. I was like, you're right. No. I was like, yeah, you're kind of right. And then I left. Because my teammate needed something happening. So.
Oh, that's right. It's you and your goddamn team.
Yeah.
If there's a chance to help people survive and we don't do it, what was the point of us surviving? Where we shouldn't.
Yeah.
We don't deserve to survive, which is Ani is crazy about now. That was already her thing in the first game, and now it's unreal.
Think about the fact that Ani is like the sole survivor is kind of like her whole thing.
Yeah,
and now, and then the one time she like didn't survive something, she got brought back to life.
Oh, did we not talk about this in the last episode? I've been yapping Vidya's ear off about this. Is that Ani being brought back, like the soul survivor thing, like for Ani, is that all throughout her adventures on the Normandy in one, she resents like anybody who survives, because like why weren't you able to help more people? Why didn't you do that? Is mm-hmm. that how you survived? Is that you were just protecting your own fucking ass? Because that is like what she feels happened to her.
Mm.
And now she is brought back against her will. Her crew died. Many of her crew died.
Yeah.
She should have gone down with them. Like,
and was that, forcibly brought back to life.
And it was forcibly brought back to life. And none of the crew that she lost that were in her care were brought back.
Mm.
Ani hates these people for what they did and is so pissed that she's alive.
Mm.
And it's carrying into everything for her. I love her now. And she fucking hates Cerberus so much. truly hates Cerberus so much. But Vito, yeah. I mean, the fights in this were, some of them were pretty tough.
Some of them pretty tough. One of them I had to do a couple times with the two moving things.
Yep. That was pretty rough.
This game has Vanguard. It's something that I've already talked to Dylan a lot about. People who don't know, Vanguard has one ability called, it's Warp or something, where you charge, it might just be called Charge.
A classic Robin.
Yeah, you charge teleport into someone, and the main gun you have is a shotgun, so you charge teleport into someone, push them back, and then you shotgun everyone else around, and it recharges so fast. And it's the most fun. However, it makes me really reckless. So I die more than I care to admit because I just teleport in to situations which I am so outnumbered in, but I find it the most fun thing ever. Anyway, it's just that this fight where there was like active moving environmental damage.
Yeah.
And it's like the best thing to do is to hide behind one crate and then just like pick everyone off. And I was like, but then I got a teleport slam into people and I kept teleport slamming into people and then burning alive. It's like constantly. And it sucked. I redid that mission so many times because I just fucking it up.
It was tough. So I'm really curious what your end to this mission was like, because when we get to where Vito is, Vito, like, we try to take him out. We've taken out like everybody in here, but we just miss Vito because we stopped to help the refinery workers.
You do miss him?
You do miss him.
Wow. Miss
him. He gets away. And in the final confrontation, Zaid is trying, and then an explosion takes out a steel beam and pins him down to the ground. And he's like initially pretty pissed off. And I'm like trying to take care of this guy. And I was just like, come on, you have to let this go. Like, you have to come with me. And you charm Zaid into being loyal to Shepard.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That is cool, actually. That's crazy.
Yeah.
My ending was crazy different. We made it. Like, we get through, the guy's running away. Zaid, like, shoots him in the leg, also hitting, like, an oil container, and this guy's, like, pleading for his life. In this light lore slash mechanics thing, in the first game, every gun has, like, a heat sink, so there's no ammo. It's just, like, it gets to a point of overheating and then stops, or you can, like, you know, burst damage and then the overheat never goes up. But in this, there's ammo because they converted all of that infinite thing into higher damage bullets, but it has this like really hot core in every gun that you have to like unload. And it's relevant for this specific bit because he's like screaming and then pleading for his life. And Zaid says some fucking
badass line, I bet.
Cool line, and then like reloads his gun but in a way that the super hot heatsink like magazine flies out and then hits the oil that the guy's standing on and then burns him alive, and he's burning, and then Zaid like doesn't look at him as he's burning and he just walks away. And then you join him and there's like no choice in it. You get there and Zaid's like cool, and then kills him and then leaves. And the owner of the Blue Sun is dead.
Yeah. I have to imagine that because I had the option to charm him, I think that if you don't, like, oh, and there was an option for me to just leave Saeed there.
Yeah.
Like there was a dialogue option to just be like, fuck off, I'm leaving without you. But that you can just like fail and not get him to be loyal to you. If you take the Paragon option and you save the refinery
crazy.
Workers.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Really fun.
Yeah.
So that's why I texted you Mass Effect 2 is going to be the best game in the series. Predicting.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Again, my thoughts is like Mass Effect 1 is the great setup. Mass Effect 2 is the best game. Mass Effect 3 is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This
game is so fun and it's so neat because, again, following the Dragon Age timeline, Mass Effect 2 happens and then Dragon Age 2 happens after that, but you can feel some of the things in it. You know, you have characters with extreme moralities
yeah.
that are only yeah. in it for you. They don't care about the things happening around it. They're loyal to you, the like Shepherd. That's what they care about. Just like the team doesn't really care about the things that Hawk does, but they're loyal to Hawk.
Right.
And yeah, and there's a lot of like real morality shit happening constantly. And I just fucking love it. I love 2. I think Mass Effect 2 is so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's really
I'm
good.
I'm so excited. When you texted me that, I was like fucking fist pumped the air.
Yeah.
I was like, we got him, boys.
We got
this
him.
Is the
you
fucking
do.
Dream.
You do got him. You do got him.
Oh, God, I love that. I spoke to some crewmates, but we'll talk about that when you hit them. So we're not spoiling nothing. I did, however, a thing that you wouldn't have got. I got contacted by the 10th Street Reds, my old gang. My old gang contacted me on private message being like, hey, so apparently you're still alive. Still hanging out with a bunch of aliens, so you're still a traitor, but you're with Cerberus, so hell yeah. And I was like, damn, these people fucking suck. This is crazy. I don't think they asked anything of me, but they did just shoot me a message to say, hey, we're still around. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, it is. What else? Is there anything else that I'm excited about?
I don't
about?
Think oh. I really did anything else.
No? No, that's no. fine. That's so okay. Yeah, it's purely just like other crew things. And there's a fun thing of... you can... Dr. Chakwas emails you and is like, hey, if you want, we can like the way to get rid of your scars and the healing, because every Shepherd has like big facial scarring at the beginning of this game because they're being rebuilt from nothing. Mm-hmm. The more Paragon you go, the more like all of your scars heal, but the more Renegade you go, the more cracked your face becomes and the deeper the scars like kind of reveal themselves. So you can have a deeply scarred face if you go super Renegade. But you can also just go down to Dr. Chakwas and be like, can you just fix my face up? She's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then I'll just make it so that you have a
cool
a normal face, which is neat. But yeah, Mass Effect 2, baby.
Mass Effect
Liking
2,
the game.
Baby. I'm loving the game.
Huge for me.
What do we do next?
Okay. So next. So here is a thing about Mass Effect 2. I've put a timeline. Our timeline's on our Discord.
Yes.
The timeline for Mass Effect 2 is really weird because there are 2 missions which are time-based, as in you will get a notification which is a voice line that Edie will tell you. This is way later into the game, so I'm not going to tell you what it is. Edie will tell you, give you a voice line, and then it is like 4 missions from that voice line. This happens, and you have no say otherwise.
Okay.
So, and there are things where it's like things are unlocked after certain dossiers are filled and blah, 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 blah. So I have a kind of basic timeline for us to make. For us to do. I'm gonna read it out here. So we've done the prologue, we've done the first 2 dossiers and the DLC dossier and loyalty mission. Next week we're going to do the second 2 dossiers, the last DLC character, and then the loyalty mission. After that, we're gonna do Horizon, which is a main mission, then the one of the second round of dossiers, the last 2 dossiers, Arrival DLC, Lair of the Shadow Broker, and then the final, and then Reaper IFF, which is one of the missions, and then the finale, which is the suicide mission. In between these, if you get a loyalty mission, you can just do the loyalty mission, and I think we'll have like a big moment where we just kind of talk about the loyalty missions and what happened in them. I'm also going to be doing them as I find them. All loyalty missions start proccing in Act 2, except for the DLC ones. So okay. We're just going to see them like pop up and people are going to ask, hey, can you go do this? You can do them when you want.
Okay.
It's fine. It's only like, obviously, in the finale is the last time that you have a chance of doing it. So finish up everything before the finale. However, next week is our, we're going to do the last three dossiers available in Act One. So we are going to do Archangel.
Okay.
We're going to do the Warlord.
Okay.
This is going to be a huge week for you. You're going to be very excited. And then we're going to do the Master Thief, which is the next.
That's another DLC.
DLC. And then the Master Thief's loyalty mission. The Master Thief's loyalty mission, I can't remember. Years since I played it, I remember it ruling and being really fucking cool.
Cool.
You can do as much as you want in between that, so there are, you can do any amount of side missions you want, any amount of DLC that you want. I wasn't sure about, there are some DLCs which are quite long, but I don't see them as super relevant, so I don't really care about hitting them. This game is a weird one when it comes to like timing again. So, you know, you can do as much or as little as you want. But we have to do Archangel, Warlord, Master Thief, and the Master Thief's loyalty mission for next week.
Perfect. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
And I think I misunderstood the are there people I'm going to not get? Like, are there, like, is this, like, if, depending on where I go, I will miss people?
No.
No. I
no,
will get
all
everything.
Of the squad, you're always going to get all of the squad.
Okay.
Cool. My comment from last week was, there are characters from Mass Effect 1 who you won't get as main squad members in this one.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. So yeah, I was a little bit afraid this past week that I was going to like do something in the wrong order and miss a person, but it's not
no,
like that, right?
If that was it, I would just tell you like,
Okay.
This
excellent.
Thing is going to happen, yeah.
All right, excellent. Oh my God, yeah. I'm so excited to see the rest of this team.
Yeah, see the rest of the team. No, I'm looking forward to it. I love these next two. They're really cool, just for the implications. Okay. And this is a note. This is just bookkeeping. Housekeeping, okay. I guess, is called. This is for everyone else. Hey, gang, do you like us playing Dragon Age?
Do you like us playing Dragon Age, guys? Oh, my God. That's right.
Because.
because.
We. Dylan, not this Dylan here, but Dylan of Kill Every Monster, who listens to this and is a very big friend of ours.
Hi Dylan.
We just got to talking and it was like, hey, do we want to team up with Dead Ghost and make a Dragon Age TTRPG show?
And then we fucking did it, gang.
And then we did it and we did that.
We fucking did it, and the trailer's out now and it's a stacked fucking cast. It's crazy good cast. And it's Dylan and I, the Dylans, co-GMing. And I'm going to say this right now, we're good at it.
Oh, it fucks so hard. They're so clean with it. It's delicious.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, it's fucking sick. Yeah, it's Dragon Age. It's a Grey Warden based. The cast is me. I'm in it. We've got Kappa Chris, a dear friend of ours. Loved him very much. We've got Hayley Whipjack. We've got Canis the Magnificent. One of the greatest of all time.
All timer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking...
It's outstanding.
It's great. It's very exciting. And we're all being great wardens.
So go awesome. Go to Dead Ghost Productions, either Instagram or TikTok or Blue Sky, and you will see the trailer and you will see a link to where you can follow along on their feed so that you can listen when it starts to drop, which it'll be soon.
Yeah, baby. Anyway, that was just the housekeeping that we needed to do. We need to tell people who listen to the Dragon Age show that we have a Dragon Age show.
We have a Dragon Age show. It's more Dragon Age.
It's more Dragon Age.
More Dragon Age.
I will give everyone like two guesses as to what the theme of my character is, because it's the easiest. It's the easiest. It's most a very Robin. Like, probably this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very yeah. Robin Grey Warden.
Yeah, oh, sick.
All Grey Warden party.
Yeah. No, it's fucking hot.
It's hot.
What do we want to say? Do we want to say like what time period it's in? That's pretty relevant, right?
I you know what I will tell you. I will tell you because I think that's going to hook you into seeing it. It takes place in the timeline is in Inquisition when the fake calling is in effect and all of the wardens are freaking out about it. We're not following the Grey Wardens who go to Weishaupt looking for a solution. We are following some of the Grey Wardens who think that the calling is real and are headed to the Deep Roads to die. And it fucks. I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of it. I can't wait for you to listen to it. And I hope that you do. And I hope that you like it. And that's it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, that's our show for this week.
That's it. What do we say?
Dylan, when do you... I was gonna say, when do you want to record the next episode?
Oh, right.
That's our
right.
pitch. Do you want me to send you the words that you have to say in response?
Yeah.
I'm gonna send you the words that we have to say in response. Hey, Dylan.
Yeah,
when
Robin?
Do you want to record next?
Can I wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Ugh, you fucking suck. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Aces, we did the show.
Bye.
Bye.